You're listening to the Local Bar Podcast with your host, Chad Alexander. Come on in. We have a lot of friends we want you to meet.
Well, hello there. From the beautiful shores of gorgeous, rainy Lake Murray, this is the Local Bar Podcast. I am Chad Alexander. And of all the places you could be, you have decided to spend a few moments with us today. And for that, we could not be more grateful. Thank you so much for joining us. I don't know about you. Great Christmas? Man, seemed to go by in a flash. I got to go up and see my new niece. She had just come home from the NICU, I think the day before Christmas Eve. Or maybe it was on Christmas Eve. I can't remember. Great time with my daughter. I think she got everything in the world. Man, I tell you what, you know, divorce is a traumatic thing. It really is. And it's tougher. And for any of you that have gone through it, even if you're in a good place now, which is where me and my ex-wife are, it's a traumatic experience. But man, I'm going to tell you, when you get two Christmases, you sure get a lot of stuff. Bryn had a great Christmas. I hope you enjoyed the podcast with her last week. I can't tell you how much fun that was, and all the great feedback, all the nice stuff that you guys said really means a lot, and I appreciate it. She had a blast with it. She's wanted to, you know, I think I may have said that I never listened to the podcast because I just don't want to hear how awful I sound. Although one of the things I noticed last week is that I think I was like eating the microphone. I'm sorry for all the noise. I've tried to, again, work in progress, trying to change the levels. But Bryn wanted to listen to herself. Oh man, she loved it. So thank you for listening and for getting back to me on some things. Those of you that emailed a lot of stuff in, thank you very much. It's very nice of you. But I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you've had a good week. It's a weird week. You know, I saw something the other day that it kind of made me realize I think we're missing out on a big opportunity for this week every year. This week's a strange week. I mean, there's not a lot going on. It's almost like everybody didn't know if they should work or not. Some banks aren't even open. Everybody's waiting for January 1st before they start the new budgets with whatever. I don't know. It's a very strange time. And I saw something the other day that I thought was a brilliant point. You know, Santa Claus looks at how you've been the past year. So we're talking technically January 1st, right? And that goes all the way through Christmas Eve. So there's this one week, which could potentially be like the world's greatest Fat Tuesday. And I think we all just kind of sit around and everybody's kind of in this lull, and it's just weird because we're waiting for January 1st to kick off the new year. And this should just be debauchery time right now. I don't know why we don't do it. I saw the other great thing about Christmas is a lot of people are putting up baby pictures, but a friend of mine that's a photographer put up I guess you'd call it like the outtakes of baby pictures at Christmas. The discarded pics that, with today's cameras and the fact that you can just delete, you don't really get the funny pictures that we all used to get. You know, the ones that embarrass family. It's like, oh mom, I can't believe you still kept that picture. I look horrible in it. And you may get a little bit of that, but not like we used to when you had to go to the photo mat and wait 4 days for your pictures to come back or whatever and pay like $8 for 5 photos. And you were stuck. You were stuck with whatever it was. And a friend of mine that just didn't delete the funny pictures, and he sent me a bunch of them, and I cackled over it. I wish I had a website up. I'd put them up. I have seen something like this before. I think the tribe had something like this not too long ago. It may have been where he got this idea from to send it out to a bunch of us. But it is hilarious. If you've got some old photos, but yeah, it is kind of strange. We don't really get those anymore because everybody just hits the delete button. If every girl doesn't look like she's doing the I'm a little teapot. I mean, I know that all you ladies do it because it makes you look skinnier or whatever, but every girl I know looks like they're starting the I'm a little teapot song. You know, I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Here is my handle. I keep waiting for them to start doing the spout with their other hand. I want someone to do that for me. I want somebody to start that fad. That'd be great. I saw some of those crazy pictures, funny pictures. It's been a it's been a crazy couple of days. So I've kind of looked for the things that that make me laugh. And man, I'm telling you, those crazy baby pictures did too. The other thing that I noticed is around this time of year, when I've been talking with friends and spending a lot of time, like I've said, I really aim to do over the past couple of weeks, as I've been trying to spend a lot more time with some friends, I heard some of the craziest stories that I've heard in a long time. I don't know who got us on the kick of sharing like embarrassing stories, but I had so much fun with it. And I know it's kind of a weird week. I'm getting a lot of responses on email now. So I actually want to give you guys a little bit of homework here before we really get going with it, with the interview. I want you, if you want to, I want you to send me in an embarrassing story. Like, especially if you were like a kid or, you know, especially if it had something to do with the holidays. I'll give you an example. One of the ones I was telling a friend of mine, we were actually talking about sports and how, when you're a kid, you know, it's fun to watch kids play sports. They don't, you know, they're not embarrassed, but sometimes when you're watching, you're like, oh man, that's my kid out there. I don't feel that way because my daughter's freaking great at soccer. But when I was a kid, though, I was debating my friend saying, oh no, I've had an embarrassing moment playing sports before. My soccer team, when we lived in the upstate of South Carolina, was a very good soccer team. The whole group was together from first grade through fifth grade when I moved. I mean, we may have changed one or two players, but we seemed to always be on the same team. And we were really good. And I don't think we ever lost a game. We may not have. And that was back when, yes, we did keep score. Not everybody was a winner. But we were playing in a game. And back then, I think the cool thing to do, I don't know why, or I guess maybe it was just to keep the uniform, just to make sure had some continuity with the uniform, is that you could wear your sweatpants, but you had to wear your shorts over them. So that, you know, the team could see your colors. I don't know. I mean, they all had the same jersey on. I don't know why it's such a big deal. Well, I took some time out. We were killing some team. And so I was sitting over on the bench for a little bit. And the coach put some of us back in, and, you know, I was still warm from having to play before. I'm like, man, I'm too freaking hot. I'm going to take my sweatpants off here because I'm just too freaking hot. Well, little, you know, I would guess I was just too excited about getting back into the game that I took my sweatpants off and didn't have any bottoms on. The real funny thing, though, was that our team colors were black, and my underoos were Superman red, and I got all the way out there. I was playing a goalie that game, and I got all the way back out to the goal and could hear everybody laughing their tail off, and looked over the side, and yeah, pretty much looked down and realized what I had done. So you still can be embarrassed when you're a kid playing sports. If you got funny stories, there's something I want to do in a couple of weeks, so I'd love for you to send them in. I'll share them. If you want me to include your name, let me know. If you don't, I won't. But I would love to hear. I'd love to hear some stories from some of you guys. The interview today is a really interesting, very nice, really funny guy that I had the joy to meet a couple of weeks ago, actually at the Cock and Bowl. And I'm not going to tell you too much about it. We talked for quite a bit here. And one of the things that I was thinking about the other day was that this fact of the holidays, I'm reminded of how much time I enjoy spending with other people. And, you know, I'm getting ready to start a new job, or I'm kind of in the middle of starting it. It's just a weird time to start a job, but I'm going to be taking some trips over the next few weeks. And I'm going to let you guys know a little bit more about that. If any of you are in the Los Angeles area, or the Denver area coming up soon, I would love to meet up with you. If I can get some time with this work stuff, I don't quite know what my schedule is going to be yet, but, I was thinking about, you know, how fun it is to travel and how strange it was. You know, when I was in college, I remember, you know, talking with the friends that were dying to travel. For some reason, I didn't want to. I was just in a weird place when I graduated college. And now, well, over the past, I'd say 10 years, that's completely changed, partly because some of the people in my life that I know that have become big travelers, I'm envious of them and their stories and the pictures they have when they come back. But in some other ways, it's been that I'm reminded when you meet people that are from somewhere else, that it opens up something to you that you just can't get at home. And I was lucky to be on the opposite side for this gentleman when he came through town not long ago. I hope you enjoy this. He is a great guy to talk with. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of emails and questions about him. I think I'm going to have to do another question and answer episode soon. I may even just do an addition because I've gotten a lot lately. But this guy, I'm sure, is going to demand quite a bit of attention. But I hope you enjoy this, and I will talk to you all on the other side. Look at all the lovely people. Look at all the lovely people. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Well, with us this week is a very special guest because this is the first guest we've ever had that is a not just a traveler, but apparently a time traveler because he exists 5 hours into the future, all the way from Nottingham, the sheriff of Nottingham, Mr. Daniel Rigby. Daniel, how are you doing today?
I'm good, mate. I'm not special, and I'm not the sheriff, but good to talk to you, Chad.
When you come to America, you got to tell me, that joke's got to have been worn out a million times when you tell people you're from Nottingham.
I've used it to my advantage, just put it that way. But no, to be honest, to begin with, I used to answer that question in a Nottingham accent, but learned that didn't translate that well, so I'd have to put an American slant on it and say Nottingham, and then all of a sudden they'd either know it through Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, or they wouldn't know where it is and just said, is that near London? So maybe I should just cut the corner and say I'm from London.
I think there's a lot of people, I think, that if you tell them you're from England, they just assume you're from London, and if not, everything's close to London, correct?
True, and right. And to be honest, I've had fun with it over the years, and quite often when they hear the accent and they ask where I'm from, and this will be in any sort of dive bar or sports bar. In the past, I've said Alabama, I've said Wisconsin, just to see the look on the face if I say, you know, Mobile, Alabama or something like that.
Right, right. Well, to let everybody know, I've met Daniel. He was traveling through America, and he actually stopped by the Cock and Bull. And I don't think Smitty's been on the show before. Smitty wasn't bartending that day, was he?
No, there was a very attractive young lady. That's all I can remember.
Well, that narrows it. Yeah, that narrows it down to like all of them, I think. I better say that because they give me hell at the bar if I don't say that. Daniel was traveling on one of his many trips to America, and we just happened to have a mutual friend that brought him to the bar that day, and I just happened to be sitting beside him. We started up a conversation that it ended with me saying, "Okay, I think I'll have one more." About 15 times, so I really only remember half the conversation now. But Daniel's traveled to the States and I want to say some other places quite a few times. So let me get this straight. This is how you guys do in England. You apparently get, the way that y'all's system is set up, you apparently have to work about 3 weeks a year, and then y'all are allowed to travel for free wherever you want to on the Queen's purse, correct?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, how exactly does that work? How much travel do you get?
Joking apart, we do get a lot more vacation days than you guys. We lose out in other things such as weather and various other things. But no, I get 30 days holiday a year plus the bank, you know, the national bank holiday. So you're talking 40 days vacation. God. So time is not the issue. Money is always the issue, but it hasn't. I've been over to the States the last 5 years, back to back, going to various places, mainly in the Southeast, because I've fallen in love with that area. So I know it pretty well now.
What? How did you just decide to come over here on a whim? Did you have mutual friends that convinced you to come over? How did you start traveling in the States?
Well, I've been to the States. I better not give my age away, just in case there's a future wife out there.
Right. Right. Yeah.
I went to the States when I was 21 with a friend after finishing college and just, you know, to go around the world like most people in England do. Mm-hmm. And then there was a big gap. I went over in 2010 to see a girl in Wisconsin in January. So,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, you know I've gone over to see someone if you're going to the Midwest at that time of year. But after that, I was in South America for a couple of months, well, 3 months in the end. And I arrived back and I was at a friend's house, one of my best friends, who unfortunately you didn't get to meet, but I was there and I was talking to her about the South America trip. And she said, oh, where are you going to go to next? And I was thinking, oh, I've been to America for a long time, or I haven't been to the Southeast or Southwest, and started talking about the trip. And out of nowhere, she suddenly turned around and said to her boyfriend, my mate, well, you should go with Dan. And we kind of looked at each other with the, sorry, did we just hear that right? You know, it's without the girlfriend. So that's it. Me and a guy called Will, who's better looking than me, came over to America 2011 to do one trip. And then we came back. We had such an amazing time. It became two trips. And then it became three trips. And finally, 2014 was our last trip together. And then he had a baby, which I suppose is a valid excuse for not traveling and sitting on bar stools talking to random people. But the reason we met was all the good work and all the people we've met on our previous four trips. I got invited over by one of them for Thanksgiving, and then ended up having a 2-week vacation where, because of the people I've met, I didn't have to pay a dollar or cent on accommodation. It was people were just saying, you know, come and visit, come and stay with us.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So, and I'd heard about the infamous cock and bull I'd seen videos for about 2 or 3 years from a friend of mine who lives in Five Points. So when I met you, although I wasn't with that guy at the time, that was my first time in the cock and bull.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought y'all had been there before. Okay. Well, no. I'm glad you finally got there. I'm glad you came all the way over from England to make sure that our British pub lived up to example. I hope that it really fit we depict a British pub as being. I hope that it was correct. I know last time we tried Euro Disney, I think we got castles wrong. They're not made of plastic. So I hope that the cock and bull lived up to being an actual British pub for you.
Well, it had, to be honest, it's not yes and no. It's themed in a British way. It's obviously sport is key.
Right.
I know that my friend said to me, you know, I wish you were here for Boxing Day for the soccer, and that looked fantastic. But it's still got the American feel because it has a very attractive, friendly barmaid, and it has interesting people to talk to on bar stools. Whereas, unfortunately, in the bars and pubs in Nottingham, you can't. In England, you can't sit and chat at a bar.
What are you supposed to do? Is it a library? Are you supposed to sit and look forward and there's an ugly dude that serves you beers? Is that how it works?
Well, there's some ugly women as well. It's not just dudes. Okay. But you get your drink. People stand at the bar, but there isn't that bar stool mentality where, you know, me and you could go into a bar anywhere, sit down, and you would start talking to the person to your left or right, no matter what age.
Sure.
Sex or whatever, just because you're there. In England, obviously England's quite famous for its pub culture. We've got a lot.
Right.
But you stand in groups. You go off to sit down elsewhere. The actual bar itself is not a sort of hive of activity. The bar in total is. And I absolutely love. I mean, some of the mine and Will's best experiences were in the non-touristy places like Colombia and like Baton Rouge, which we were in, where they're not used to having, you know, English people in there, and they're so, I suppose the accent helps, you know, tenfold, but instantly, you know, you ask directions or you ask what they're eating or drinking, and they don't even answer, Chad. They just, where are you from? What are you doing here? You know, why are you in Baton Rouge, or why are you in Athens, Georgia, or whatever? So,
sure,
yeah, that conversation happened with Will and his fantastic girlfriend for letting him come on four trips with me. What happened then was we were meant to do the East Coast, New York. We went to an NFL game in Philadelphia, and we were going to go to Florida, which I still haven't been to.
Oh, wow.
And a friend of my brother's actually was living in New Orleans because he worked for Shell.
Okay.
And he said, oh, if you like food and sports, you should come to New Orleans and go to an LSU game. So my first college game in America was at Death Valley, was LSU versus Unfortunately, it was against Kentucky, so it was a bit of a cakewalk.
But yeah.
It was still, that was my first college football experience, because in England, college football is very, very small. Unlike the NFL, no one really knows much about it.
Right. Well, that's an impressive game to go to, especially going to LSU. And you saw a couple of guys playing that are going to be playing in our professional level.
Yes. I followed NFL since I was about 12.
Okay. Right. Did you tell me you were a Vikings fan?
Yeah, which gets bonus points, because obviously they're hardly fashionable or successful.
Right. But that goes to show that you didn't just look at the top of the charts to find the best team. You had to do some digging. Yeah.
I picked my team as a 12-year-old based on who had the coolest helmet.
Right.
Which, you know, in hindsight, good helmet, bad choice. But no, I wouldn't swap them for the world. But so joking apart, you get a lot of respect, because the people I speak to about football in the bars in America just expect me, rightly, to know very little. A bit like if an American was in an English pub. Talking about soccer, we wouldn't expect them to know the players, the teams, etc.
Right.
But an NFL fan for a long time, but I've never seen the connection in terms of college players coming through, because until meeting a good friend of mine who's a huge Gamecocks fan, I never knew where any of them. I never knew where Adrian Peterson played college football, because it's not on TV. There's no media about the college game.
Yeah.
So I started going to games, and my friend over there, a guy called Dan Blackman, who's a cock and bull regular, he's just been amazing. And because of him, I've been to probably four Gamecocks games, including this year, the defeat to Clemson. I went with him to Athens when we played Georgia Bulldogs, etc. So I'm slowly but surely getting into the college scene, but I'm still an NFL guy at heart.
Gotcha. Well, you going back to your traveling, and I'm impressed with not only how many times you've been over here, but how much did you like it. And by the way, I'm amazed that you haven't been to Florida yet, but I will give you a bit of advice. Florida is not really a southern state. It's a Spanish-speaking country, but it still is a wonderful, wonderful place to go. I actually do love Florida a lot.
I've never been. I mean, for an English person, if you're going to America, they naturally assume you're going to New York,
right?
Florida, for Universal, etc., or California.
Sure.
I've been to New York three times. Fantastic city. I've been to California once, an amazing state, you know, so diverse, incredible. But English people in general, other than the educated travelers, they don't know about, they won't know much about the Carolinas or Georgia. They won't know much about Austin, Texas, etc. And because of the likes of, because these trips were based on sport and food, all of a sudden, we're going to the places that I've seen on Man vs. Food and Diners, Drive-ins and Dives. The reason I went to South Carolina the first time is because we were going to Charleston, and I was just looking for a big college stadium, big college team near Charleston.
Yeah.
And it made sense. And then it's a long story and it involves the internet, so it sounds dodgy, but that's how I how I met the first guy out in Carolina, who met me in Will at a bar in Five Points, just to sort of to scan us out, just to check out how weird we were.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and as you say, 4 years on from that day, we're still in touch, and I'm still coming over and tailgating, etc.
That's cool. Well, I have a friend that, let me go back a little bit here. When I was younger, I'm still amazed when I look back on it now about how little I really look forward to traveling. And I think part of it is because of our schedule over here in America. For the longest time, I've started developing a, I don't know the correct term to use here, but there's something about, you know, the fact that the American system is, you know, 20% growth year after year. We work ourselves to death to where I think we lose productivity nowadays because we don't spend time. The world's getting smaller. We know that there's more out there, especially with like the influx of the internet. But one of the things, when I look back on my former self, I'm always surprised now with how much I like to travel, about how much it wasn't that I had any disdain for it, but I had no care to do it. I had someone in my life, his name's Russ, that decided after his wife was ill, they had to deal with just some illnesses, and everybody's fine now. But he decided that life's too short, one of those kinds of things. And they take at least one trip a year overseas, if not maybe somewhere in the country. But they'll make two if they do that. And I started watching him and listening to him and realizing that I was allowing my world to be too small.
Yeah.
With a guy that's grown up, though, in a system – Toy, you're right. It's not so much the time as a restriction, but it's the finances. But you can always find a way to get around that if you really try. Has that always been something for you, or did you feel there was a point in your life when you started traveling, or as you were continuing to travel, that the world kind of came to you a little bit more? Do you see what I'm asking?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a bit cliched, like your friend saying, you know, he realized, you know, life sort of a finite thing in terms of time, and, you know, to get out there and do a trip every year. Mine was, I was in an equivalent to an IKEA sort of, I'm sure you have IKEAs in
America. Yeah, we do, yeah.
A big IKEA, and I was in equivalent to that shop. It was before IKEA's around, and there was a huge sort of poster, framed poster of the world, and it must have been, I couldn't say how, you know, it would have been something like 8-10 feet across diagonally. So it was a huge thing. And I was only about, I was young, I was, I don't know, 11, 12. And I went to find the United Kingdom. And it's teeny, as you know, it's so small. Now, the size of it, I looked at the rest of it and thought, this looked amazing. You know, what are these countries? What's Russia? What's this Greenland, etc.? And that's where it started for me. And I also think, Chad, when England or United Kingdom is what? It's small. It's half the size of Michigan. It's teeny.
Yeah.
If you're smaller than most of the US states, you're soon going to be looking to travel elsewhere. So all my family vacations were into Europe. They were predominantly, you know, France or
sure.
Holland or Belgium, etc. Easy ferry across. But that kind of puts it, I mean, there are people, don't get me wrong, who are not inclined to travel at all, and that's absolutely fine. There's no right or wrong. But for me, having sort of grown up with family holidays in countries where they don't speak the language and it's completely different, it's always sparked an interest to do it. And as I mentioned, it's a generation thing as well. My parents didn't. They travel a lot now, and they're in their early 70s, but they didn't really travel back in the day because you couldn't do flights to America so easily. But traditionally now, kids in England, where the education system's a lot cheaper, or it was in my time, they have to pay now, but my university course was free. Once you finish your course at 21 years of age, nowadays, a vast majority of people finishing college go traveling for a year. It just seems to be what everybody does. And that's exactly what I did back in 1999-2000. I started in New York in August and about 13 months later arrived back home to a depressed and rainy Nottingham. But so that's how it started. So it has, mine was quite early. And as soon as I'd been sort of round the world, that opens, as soon as you do it once, it opens your eyes up completely. And it's only these last 4 or 5 years where my old motto used to be never go back to somewhere you've been, because the world's such a big place. You'll be missing out, as you suggested. But unfortunately, my love of the South in terms of the people and the weather and the places and everything and the tailgating, of course, I've broken that rule 4 times and keep coming back. But I'll have to put a self-imposed ban, and my next plan is to go back to Asia next year.
I saw you popping a couple of questions up on your Facebook page one day about some potential flights somewhere. What do you have on your list to travel to next?
So, I'm not out of the ordinary. I mean, I've done a lot of traveling, but this is the other thing, is when you're out in wherever you are, South America, anywhere where it's traveler friendly, America in general, isn't because of the size, and Canada isn't because of the size, even though the language barrier isn't a problem. But places like Southeast Asia and parts of South America, you can turn up to a hostel or a budget hotel on your own, and you haven't got to worry about not being with anyone, because that will only last a matter of hours, not days. So I haven't done it for a long time. I did, as I said, I did South America for, it was meant to be 10 weeks back in 2010. But if you remember, a volcano went off in somewhere like Iceland.
Yeah.
And the air, I think it was about the air quality, no flights would go in or out of Europe. So I was actually stranded in Peru for an extra 2 weeks, which was a nightmare.
Oh, really?
not much of a nightmare with having met a couple of Norwegians, and yeah, it was pretty good. But that was my not midlife crisis, because I wasn't quite midlife, but that was my reliving my youth of when I was in my early 20s, and I loved it. So next year, I'm planning to go and see a friend in Spain, which is a traditional place for English people to go, but he lives right on the southern tip where basically Europe meets Africa. I think Morocco is just 15 kilometers over the water. So he lives in a place called Tarifa, which is a sort of medieval town, but is now taken over by sort of the surf crowd. So, you know, multicolored sunglasses is the norm, and board shorts. But so I'll go and see him, but that's just a quick trip. And then, as you spotted on, I'm very interested in going to the Philippines, because I've heard for a lot of years now, I've heard great things about the, not so much the mainland or the main island, but the little island. So I'm looking to go there for a couple of weeks. And it was just that I often do this. It sounds how dull my Sunday nights are, but I'll sit there, and I was on Skyscanner and Kayak looking at flights, and you know, a flight from England to the Philippines for under £400, which is what, $650.
Yeah,
that's too good to not sort of spark an interest.
Sure.
And a friend of mine who I met, who's an English girl I met in South America, is now a full-time sort of travel writer or blog writer. I don't know how she does it and gets paid, but it sounds like the perfect job. But
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, tell me about it. She, lovely girl, met her in South America on an organized trip. And she now goes around with a boyfriend, and she did a blog about a sailing trip somewhere in the Philippines. And it's on my Facebook now. It's absolutely, and she just raved about it. And I trust her, because I know her relatively well, having spent 3 weeks with her traveling. But when I read it, you know, and the prices out there, it's expensive to get there in general, but very cheap accommodation and food when you're there. And you're in paradise, basically. Yeah. So I love the idea. I've never done a sort of a 5-day sailing trip with, you know, snorkeling and kayaking involved, and etc. So I'm hoping to give that a go if I can.
That sounds horrible. I don't understand why anybody. Good Lord, that sounds fantastic. I'm impressed. It's neat that you've made your connections. You're obviously a very personable guy, and you've got lots of friends all over that you've kept up with as you travel, which makes I'm sure traveling more fun and probably in some ways more complicated, because I'm sure every time you come to America, all your American friends want you to come to their part, but when you travel, you know, obviously with your personality, obviously with trial and error, you've got this this courage to just to try new things. What do you think is the most important thing to remember when you're traveling?
I think, good question. I think probably just realizing where you are, as in, if you know, I've been in like Bolivia in South America and Cambodia in Southeast Asia, incredibly poor countries. And you've got to take that on board. There's no point going there and complaining about the state of the, you know, the bathrooms or potential hygiene as they make you their, you know, the local dish, etc. Because, you know, you're in a developing world, you know, a developing country, a third world country. So as long as you go into these things with an open mind and, you know, and it's not hard to adapt when you're in a place where they don't speak English as a first language, you know, and you're surrounded by things you don't usually see. That was always my sort of aim was to go places as far away from England as possible, which is obviously is wrong when I go to America because it's relatively similar. But in my early days, my favorite country in the world to this day is still Vietnam, which is
really,
but Vietnam for the food and the people. The only place in the world which compares to the people of the South in America, as in that Southern hospitality, is the Vietnamese people. They're incredible. But I think that's the reason. That's the reason I keep coming back to the South of the States, is because if it hadn't, it's not just the people like yourself who I meet at a bar for, we won't say what time we're at that bar, Chad, for obvious reasons, but you know, I've met people like you dozens of times where you meet them for 2-3 hours, get on really well, etc., and you just sort of smile and think, you know, nice guy, etc., or nice girl. But the friends who I've, you know, who I keep going over and bothering and seeing, they are incredibly nice. It's hard to portray it and get it across to the people when I come back and I'm, you know, back in my office job or speaking to my family or friends over here. But you know, I've probably got more friends in America than England now, because they're just so, the guy, our mutual friend Jason, who took me to the Cock and Ball, has just been incredible since I've met him in terms of the things he you know, he's done for me, etc. And that, you know, that brings you back. So it, you know, it's the same with America. When you're in a place, America, you know, the Deep South is nothing like being in Nottingham at all. So it's just being being aware that you are somewhere else. You're in their land. You know, I'm staying with friends. It's their house. I'm in somebody else's bar, etc. As long as you've got that sort of open attitude to it, I just think it, you know, I think it just flows from there, and it's easy.
One last question before I let you go. Seeing that you do live in the future, everyone wants to know if Clemson is going to be able to beat Oklahoma. Can you give us what's going to happen so I can put my money down where I need to, and maybe I can make that flight to the Philippines?
Well, I love it. You're asking a British guy about college football. The thing is my main vice is gambling. I've been gambling I make most of my money from American sports. It's a lot easier to gamble in England than America. And the English bookmakers or the odd setters aren't really that bothered about American college football, because there isn't much money put down compared to soccer and cricket and tennis, etc. So the difference in the odds between what Clemson will be, maybe not on an individual game, but let's say the start of the season, Ohio State to win the national championships, will be significantly higher in England than America. So I don't even really need to know who's good.
Really?
I just follow the odds. That's how I manage to do these trips.
So that's the trick. I need to get on the English exchange when it comes to gambling, then, and not this American one.
The difference is, the odds are slight. I know the odds are different how they're described, but if they're in terms of how you talk about it and we do, but if Ohio State were 500 to win the championship, there'll be 800 here, and you know, in Kansas City Royals in the baseball, it'll instead of being something like 1,100 at the start of the season, there'll be something like 2,000 over here in terms of, and there are big differences. So in terms of that, in terms of the two games, you're a Gamecocks fan, I take it, Chad,
yeah,
or not?
Uh-huh,
you
I
are.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't really be saying it, but I think Clemson will win.
Okay.
I think the spread's 4. At the moment, I think they're +4 Clemson, and I think it's. I mean, I don't. Really, you know, I'm not the one to ask, because I haven't seen Oklahoma play. But I would take the points in that one. And in the other game, it's, what is it? Bama versus Michigan State.
Yeah,
I should like Michigan State, because I know a girl who's just graduated from Michigan State and is on her way to Seattle as we speak on a sort of Oregon Trail driving adventure. But.
Oh, wow.
You don't make much money betting against Bama. I'll have my tagline. So I would say it will be a Alabama Clemson final.
All right. Well, that's, you know, maybe I will throw that down. And if I do, maybe I'll, you might see me popping up with a snorkel somewhere over in the Philippines. Daniel, thank you so much for coming on. Number one, it was great meeting you and getting a chance to sit and chat with you at the Cockamole that day. Number two, I'm glad you came on here so everybody else could hear from you. Definitely have to contact with you again soon, man.
Yeah, Chad, are we still on for outdoor adventures in North Carolina mountains?
Absolutely. That I was going to remind you of that off the air. I still mean that. We are going to, with Smitty, the guy that's one of the bartenders that you have not met at the Cock and Bull. It is on me. When you come back over, we will make that happen. I promise you that. You just let me know when you're coming over. I'll shoot you some dates when Smitty comes around, and we'll definitely have to do that, my man. You'll love it.
I've said this to many people before. You can't just throw out these invites because I'm one of those annoying guys that will come back over. Hence this trip for Thanksgiving, this time around with my mate Dan saying, you know, why don't you come over and we'll do this, do that, etc. So, yeah, I appreciate it. That us meeting in the bar for 2-3 hours, having one or two drinks and ending it with you inviting me to go camping just to do something I can't do over here kind of is a perfect synopsis of my travels all in a 3-hour moment. We had a laugh. We argued about the Cowboys and the Vikings and Jerry Jones, etc. But cheers, man. I'm sure. Well, we will be in touch because we are in touch. And I'll let you know what happens with the Philippines and see if that comes about.
Sounds good, man. Well, thanks again, Daniel. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon, my man. You take care.
Okay. Cheers, man. Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank a mutual friend of ours, Jason Snyder. He's a very, very nice guy. I've known for a few years now, but who introduced me to Daniel. Thank you, Jason. And again, thank you, Cock and Bull, for being the place to meet some of the most interesting people. Again, guys, I'm not paid by the Cock and Bull, but if you've not been by there, you're just missing out, especially if you live in the Columbia area or if you're visiting the area anytime soon. Great food, great beer, wonderful beer selection, and some of the nicest dang people in front of the bar and behind the bar that you will ever meet. And two of the best owners in Scotty and Steve-O. It was great to meet Daniel and talk with him. And I'm going to tell you, even off the air, he's just an impressive guy. I'm appreciative of his love, number one, of traveling and meeting other people. His love of America in the South, especially the Southeast. And, he really does fit in. It's strange to think, for some reason, excuse me if I'm just getting this wrong, but I just figured that every bar over there was just, I don't know, what would you see? Like, I guess what I have is the stereotypical Irish bar in my head. And now I'm going to be upset if I found out that Irish bars aren't what I think they are either. So, he is a wonderful guy. How cool of a story is that, though? I absolutely love when he said that he was in that IKEA type store and saw the big picture of the map of the world and saw how little he was. I had a friend of mine not Daniel's not little, but I mean the country that he lives in is and saw how big it was compared to the rest of the world. I had a friend of mine growing up. We would do a retreat, like a youth retreat or something at the beach each year. And he would do this thing where he would just sit out and sit on the beach and look up at the stars. He was this guy that really inspired me, and he's no longer with us, but I loved his perception of the world. And he was a funny guy. He was a pastor. He was a funny guy. I loved him to death, but he would just sit out there and just be quiet and look up at the stars. And then he would just turn if anybody was out there with him. He's like, okay, I can go in now. And one day I asked him, I'm like, hey, why do you do that? Are you praying? Is that like your prayer time? Or are you just meditating? What are you doing? He's like, no. Sometimes when my ego gets a little big, I like to just sit out here until I realize how small I am. There is something to realizing that keeps our egos in check. But what I love about Daniel is he realized that his world was small around him, and there was so much more out there to see. He is very interesting. I would have loved to have talked to him about traveling a little bit more. Number one is the longest interview I've had yet, and I could have kept talking to him for hours, which I've already done, but I wanted to share that with you guys. I think what impresses me the most about him is the idea that you have to get out there and try it. And, he talked a little bit. He kind of brushed over it because he had to brush over almost everything. But he talked about you go somewhere and maybe you're going to be alone, but you won't be alone for long. And he's got a great part of his nature that's also very his personality is, he's bubbling over with personality, so he's easy to meet and talk to. But the thing that grabbed me the most is when we were talking about what's the most important when you're traveling. And he talked about, basically knowing your surroundings and understanding that you're visiting somewhere. It's so funny that he brought that up, because that's something that I've even seen lately in my own world. Like, sometimes I'll go somewhere, I'll be with some people, and it's maybe somebody that's with me or with the group is not the most positive person. And you'll hear them kind of just pick some certain things apart. It's like, well, you're a guest in this person's house, so what does it matter? Well, I'm not like walking into third world countries every day, but there is something to that about realizing your surroundings. I think sometimes we forget that when we're guests somewhere, that maybe we don't need to be so critical. Maybe sometimes we miss out on the point of spending time with folks, going somewhere, taking it all in, because what we're doing is we're just kind of just nitpicking things apart. I'll go back to a little bit bigger analogy here. I was talking with some friends of my wife. Actually, it's my ex-father-in-law, Russ, is the one that got the travel bug years ago. And it was funny. The first couple of times he and his wife would travel, I mean, they've always traveled a little bit, but when they were really going out on these adventures, the first couple of times, it was more that they would say things like, yeah, it wasn't exactly what we thought, or yeah, it was good, but I really wish it hadn't had this. And then the more that they would travel and the more I'd hear them go along, they would just organically stop paying attention to that, because they knew it was going to be there. And I would even ask them, well, was this not cool? Oh, no, that was terrible. Oh, no, that was disgusting. Yeah. Oh, I didn't care about that. Yeah, that was horrible. But really, this is what I enjoyed so much. And they switched from talking negatively about something and being hung up on all the little negative things and realizing that, life's just different in other places. So it's good to be able to walk in and realize, yeah, things are gonna be a little bit different, but that's all a part of what's going on here. And you don't want to miss out on it. I had another weird moment on Facebook the other day, and I actually didn't turn it on again for like a day. The week that I talked to Liz on here about our friend Kim Pollard that passed away, I actually had somebody else lined up. It was a young lady that I worked with probably about 8 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. And she was up in Iowa. Her name is Melissa. And she was going through her second round of chemo. She has a little son who is, I think, Bryn's age, 4 or 5. And she and I talked a little bit, and I told her that I wanted her to come on because I was impressed with how she was positively dealing with things and all that. And I didn't hear from her for a while. I was a little bit nervous. I sent her a message or two, but didn't hear back. I figured life was busier on Christmas, and I turned on Facebook and saw that she had passed away. It's tough, man. It is tough. She was a nice young lady. But I'm going to be honest. I'm not tagging her in this because I don't want this to come across any negatively to anybody that knows her, and I don't think she has anybody that listens to this. But when I met her, she wasn't someone that really. I don't want to say we didn't get along, but she just wasn't someone that I was gravitating towards. I guess there were just differences in who we are and who we were in our culture. And I mean, she was a nice girl. I didn't have anything against her. She wasn't mean or snotty or anything. It just didn't grasp me. But we were good friends enough to be Facebook friends, and it was fine. But there was always something, you know, there was always something that I just kind of, I guess I focused on too much and just said, nah, she's nice. I just don't want to talk to her that much. And looking at her Facebook page the other day and thousands of people that, the outpouring of emotion for this young lady and the passing of her life and, her moving from this life to another and, what her son is going to have to go through and what her parents are dealing with was very touching and obviously tragic and very sad. But I think what Daniel said is something that I can do more in my life, not just when I travel, but maybe with what I'm doing. Maybe getting focusing on those small, ridiculous, annoying things. Sure. I mean, I'm not saying, look, I've got people in my life that I wouldn't mind cutting out right now. I mean, there's some people that I'm just not going to fit with that are just too negative that don't need to be there. Yeah, there's a lesson in that somewhere too. But maybe sometimes getting hung up on one or two things here that really don't mean anything, maybe it just means you're different from them. And maybe you miss out on an experience there because you did. I wonder sometimes if Melissa and I had been closer friends, that maybe she would have felt a little bit more comfortable in coming home. I also don't know what she was dealing with at the time, and maybe she just wasn't in a positive spot. I don't know, and I'll never know. But I kind of hate that I didn't get to spend a little time with her, not because she's not here, but in realizing that I kind of missed out because I was too focused on the negative. You know, two things that I'm reminded from talking with Daniel and someone like him that has that great personality, that daring for adventure and is able to get out there and do some incredibly wonderful things and go on some amazing journeys and meet incredible people and have great friends. I'm reminded of two things. Number one, that don't let your world be so small. You know, don't let your world be so small that you just sit in one place. Get out there, try something new, do something different. I'm not saying you got to fly to the Philippines. Oh, they're $600 from England. That's great. I wonder what it'd be from here. But even in your own town, even in your own area, you know, don't allow yourself in your world to be so small that you become smaller. One of the big things that I seem to be saying to people a lot more these days is to be inclusive, not exclusive. Don't think that your world is just your neighborhood, man. You got to get out and try something different. You got to find things you like, things that you don't like. But the other thing is don't get hung up on one or two things. You know, remember where you are and realize it's not your house and you're cooking. And as a matter of fact, I bet someone would have something to complain about if they were at your place. And don't miss out on opportunities with people just because you get hung up on something. The cancer sucks. I mean, it wasn't just her. I saw that somebody else, a girl that a buddy of mine dated, I didn't really know her. I only met her a couple of times that same night, passed away. 42 years old. It just stinks. Getting to the age to where people are passing away. But it's not like I'm in my 60s, 70s, or 80s. I'm in my 30s. It's a shame. I don't want to leave on a down point here. I'm not trying to say that, folks. And I'm sorry if it seems like I am, especially after Daniel's incredibly positive, funny interview. No, it's just one of those things that, you know, what if I had gotten hung up on something with Daniel and didn't spend those 3 hours talking to him? You know, what if I didn't take the time to get to know him a little bit better? I missed out on that. And that would have sucked because he's one hell of a guy. And I do hope that he and I keep in touch. And I do mean it. Smitty has talked about going again right around my birthday. If Daniel's not over here, he better get over here. Trip is on me. And yes, I understand, Daniel, that you take people on their word. I want you to take me on mine. Look, I've had cats in my life. I understand it. I feed you once, you go keep coming back. So just go ahead and plan on it. But don't miss out. You know, don't miss out. You know, look around you right now. If there's one little thing or two little things about some event or some person that are keeping you from doing something that could better yourself or introduce you to something new, please don't let that be a hang up. Go out there and try something. Don't miss out on what's going on out in the world or outside of your world. Don't be afraid to stretch your boundaries. We've got a new year coming, and everybody's going to be setting these resolutions that most of you aren't going to keep. And that's fine. I understand that. But I bet you'd find some, I guess we'll call it motivation, to continue with your resolutions and everything that you're trying to change about yourself or for someone else. If you look beyond your own boundaries and found that the world's bigger than you think, maybe, just maybe, that's what it takes to push you over the top this year and make yourself a better you, because you realize that your world is bigger and better out there. Yes, it's scary. Yes, there are bad things that can happen. Yes, there'll be ups and downs. But isn't that a lot better than just sitting on your couch? We could all take a couple of lessons from a guy like Daniel. All of us. And I certainly learned one just by sitting down and having a beer or 12 with him for a couple of hours.
Thanks for stopping by the bar. We've picked up your tab, but if you'd like to throw the best bartenders you know a tip, head over to patreon.com/localbar and support the show. Any support is greatly appreciated. If you'd like to drop us a line, send your comments and questions to localbarmail@gmail.com. Thanks again for coming in. See you next week.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for coming by. Go out there and do something great this week. Do something that makes your future self proud. Expand your borders, all that crap. At least maybe just have a drink with a fellow from across the pond. Take care. See you next week.